Welcome to another episode of the Replant Bootcamp, the podcast for church renewal leaders where we listen, learn, and laugh together with boots on the ground church leaders. I'm your host, Jimbo Stewart. This podcast is sponsored by Church QuickSight by 180 Digital. Getting a website that your visitors and members will love doesn't have to be hard. Learn more at churchquicksight.com.
Here we are back at it again, back at another episode of the Replant Bootcamp. Hope you're ready for the next episode. I'm excited this week. I get to have on as a special guest, author Daniel M., Pastor Daniel M. Daniel, would you just briefly introduce yourself to the podcast and to our listeners for those that may not know who you are?
Yeah, it's great to be with you, Jimbo. For me, yeah, married, three kids, been in pastoral ministry for the last 18 years, born and raised in Vancouver, so I'm Canadian. My parents immigrated from Korea, so Korean-Canadian, and for the majority of my life have lived in Canada, but I also spent 2 years pastoring in Korea and 5 years in Nashville. I wanted to be a country music singer, but it didn't end up working out, so Lifeway hired me. No, for real. I worked for Lifeway Christian Resources for 5 years, basically helping them figure out how they're going to resource church planting. So started something called newchurches.com mm-hmm. with Ed Stetzer and Todd Adkins, and did that for several years. And yeah, felt the call back to local church ministry, back to and actually into my first lead pastorate. So that's what I've been doing for the last 3 years, and I've been back for five.
All right, so I gotta ask then: do you lean more towards Canadian food, Korean food, or Nashville hot chicken?
Nice, I love it. I love all kinds of food. If you were to say what is your comfort food,
yeah,
it would be Korean food.
Okay,
yeah. So I could eat Korean food almost every day, sort of thing. That's my soul. Country, you know, it's not country food, but it's kind of like my soul food, comfort food. However, having said that, I have brought barbecuing back to Canada, and I'm not talking about grilling. I'm talking about real barbecue, and yeah, I love it. So
that's good.
It's, you know, always makes my neighbors jealous a little bit, but it's, yeah, a good conversation point.
That's good. I love it. I got to work over the last several years pretty closely with the Korean Council of Southern Baptists, and I've spoken at several Korean events and
nice.
Had my share of real, like, legit Korean food, and I was grateful for it.
Nice. Love it.
So I grew up eating Cajun food, and so I thought I could handle all kinds of spice, but I found that Koreans can run with it.
Oh, it's different, right? And yeah, Korean barbecue is different than Southern barbecue.
Yep.
I wouldn't say one is better than the other. It's very different in style and how it does, but also spice too, right? Nashville hot chicken, it's a different spice base than the Korean red pepper flake and all that. So yeah, it's fun. Spicy, saucy, you know, just lots of flavor.
I love it. Hey, look, the reason I brought you on here is not to talk about food, although I could do that all day.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
But the book that you wrote several years back, No Silver Bullets, I'm always a guy that I feel like if you and I have a conversation long enough, I'm probably going to end up recommending a book to you by the time our conversation is over. Mm. And I live and breathe and eat in the world of church revitalization and replanting. So most of the books that I'm recommending often to pastors are specifically geared towards church health, church revitalization, church replanting. But I found maybe the top book that's not in those categories that I recommend is No Silver Bullets, just because it helps a struggling church with maybe older discipleship methods and models think through not a new, cool, trendy way or a curriculum-based way, but a biblical way to make some not major shifts, but micro shifts in the way that they think about discipleship. And so it's been impactful for me. It's been impactful for pretty much everybody I've recommended it to. So give us just a quick overview of how that book came to be and why somebody would want to read No Silver Bullets.
Yeah, I really appreciate that, Jimbo. I'm honored that you would recommend the book in that way. For me, I you know, I feel like we really get along with each other because I could talk about food all day too. And in almost every conversation, I'll end up recommending a book to someone. So I'm honored that you would see the book in that way. For me, No Silver Bullets was an attempt to go beyond a, hey, this worked at my church, so obviously it should work at your church sort of mindset, or even the temptation that many of us have to mimic and to copy successful churches in our mind's eye, right? Because that can what a successful church looks like is different to many of us. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes we have this temptation to mimic and to say, well, if that church did that, then I'm going to do that. And if that happened there, then that's also obviously going to happen here. Mm. And there's this temptation that we have to do that. So what I wanted to do instead was take a step back and offer people not necessarily a here's what to think, but more of a here's how to think when it comes to discipleship. Hmm. Not a follow these three steps and then you're going to be good. And, you know, here's your, in a sense, silver bullet. No, there's actually no silver bullets. And here's a way to think about discipleship. Here's a way to think about maturity. One of the things, I didn't write it in that book. I teased it out. Well, as I had been presenting No Silver Bullets for the last several years, and then ended up writing kind of a 2.0, a next version of a discipleship book called The Discipleship Opportunity, there's this exercise that I often would lead groups of people through. And it's a very simple exercise, but I find that this exercise reveals what we think about maturity. Do you mind if I just quickly
Please,
do it for your
great.
Listeners?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So maybe you're mowing the lawn, or you're if you're up in Canada. I mean, not at this time when we're when we're recording this, but maybe you're shoveling the snow off your sidewalk. But whenever it might be, and whatever you might be doing, I would love for you just to when I ask you this question, just bring to mind or think about the top three people that you think about when I say this question. Okay. When I ask this question. So here it is. Okay. So don't think about this too much. I'm going to ask it. And I just want you to, you know, think about immediately the first three people that come to mind. Who are the three most mature people in your church? Right. Who are the three most spiritually mature people in your church? And you can't say yourself, you can't say your spouse, you can't say anyone you're related to. Has to be three people apart from you or your best friend or whatnot.
Yeah.
Okay. So hopefully, right, Jimbo, like most people have gotten at least one or two people in their mind's eye.
Yeah.
So the next question, and this is often what I do when I lead workshops in and around discipleship. The second question that I then ask is, okay, why is it that you identified those people as being the most spiritually mature people in your church? Right? Because unless you're a robot, there's no way that you automatically came up with all of these characteristics
right.
of spiritual maturity. Even if you were like, oh, spiritual maturity is the fruit of the spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Even if you were to say that is my framework, or, you know, the classic FAT, right? Faithful, yep. available, teachable, whatever it might be. Even if you had those categories and you thought about those categories, there is no way in 10 seconds you would have been able to put everyone in your church in and through that framework.
Right.
And then determine these are the three most spiritually mature people in your church, right? We don't, in 10 seconds, we can't do that.
Right.
So then the question is, why is it that you identified those three people? And then the second question after that is, where did they get discipled? Like, did you lead them to Christ? Or was there someone when you were the pastor of this church, did they move from darkness to light? Mm. And whether it was you or someone else in your church, did they make a decision to follow Jesus in your church? And then if so, who discipled them? And what was that discipleship process like, to the point that you would then put them as being one of the most spiritually mature people in your church?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you didn't lead them to Christ, and if they weren't led to Christ in your church, and if they weren't discipled to the point from darkness to light, to maturity, to fruitfulness, to not only being a disciple, but being a disciple maker through the life of your church, then you can't actually take credit, and you can't actually say that the way that you're discipling people works.
Yeah. Wow.
For a lot of pastors, especially in replant situations, and even more so in church planting situations, for a lot of pastors, the spiritually most mature people in our church came from other churches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And they probably weren't discipled to the point that they were discipled just through a single ministry either. So then that goes to the question of, okay, so if that's the case, how do we look at the way that we disciple at our church and make sure that what we're doing is actually leading people to fruitfulness, to maturity, to multiplication? And that whole exercise is, in a sense, the why behind why I wrote No Silver Bullets and why I then continued, I'd say, what is it? It's 2024, so 7 years later, right, ended up writing The Discipleship Opportunity.
That's excellent. And I appreciate the way that you approach this in a biblical, spiritual way, but also very research-based, data-based. It's mm-hmm. not just, like you said, a copycat of, oh, this worked in the church that I was leading, and so it's going to work in your church. Or theoretically, I think these things will work. But there's a lot of research behind what is written in these books. And I think probably the phrase I have, I would say stolen, but I believe I've given you credit almost every time I've said it, is that discipleship is directional, not destinational. It's the first of the five micro shifts. And so I'll say that, and then I have applied that to when I talk about church revitalization, church health, church maturity is even the word I've started to shift to, that really what we're not necessarily even trying to revitalize or make a healthy church. I think what we're trying to do is make a spiritually mature church, and that when it comes to spiritual maturity in the church, that is a directional thing, not a destinational thing. And that is a micro shift of the way that we think. Yeah. But it is. I think it has major impacts in the way that we think about what we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. Because part of it is we have these subconscious images of what spiritual maturity should look like or ought to look like, right? And maybe that image of spiritual maturity is embodied in a person, right? Like Billy Graham, right? Or like, just fill in that blank, whoever it is that you're like, man, that person is spiritually mature. Or like at Beulah, Phyllis Pendergast is a actually, I shouldn't say how old she is, but she's been a part of our church for a really long time. Our church is 103 years old, right? She's one of the longest standing members of our church. And when I think about spiritual maturity, I think her, right? Mm. She is way older than me. So when I think about it from that perspective, yeah, did I lead her to Christ? No, I wasn't even alive when she made a decision to follow Christ, right? She's been a disciple of Jesus longer than I have lived. Yeah. But when we think about these notions and these ideas and these pictures of spiritual maturity, we also have the contrast, right? It's like, well, that person, and I'm not going to name any names for this one, you know, that person is not, like, they are the opposite of spiritual mature, right? They are consumeristic. They are, they're worldly in this way. And they might have the appearance of being a disciple, but they're actually a wolf in sheep's clothing, right? Yeah. And you hate, you shudder at the thought of them emailing you, right? Or being crossing the hallway at the same time with them, because you know that they are a wolf in sheep's clothing. So we have these images, right? How do we then turn them into practical things that we can do something about?
Yeah.
Right. And that's this idea, even from the mindset of, okay, if discipleship is more about the direction we're moving in than a destination that we get to, then, and here's another layer, right? We live in the West. We're, so we can call ourselves Western Christians.
Right.
But when you think about where the majority of Christians live and where the center of Christianity is, it is not the West. So when we think about this idea of spiritual maturity and we think about increasing globalization and the idea that people who've been born in different countries are moving into our cities and becoming a part of our churches, and we think about this perspective, to say, hey, so this is what spiritual maturity looks like for every single person is a little bit, I feel like we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
Right. Because we're so
focused, and our minds are wrapped around this idea of Western Christianity and a Western Christian image of what spiritual maturity looks like. So if that's the case, then instead of falling into that trap, yeah, what would it look like for us to think of discipleship as more of a directional thing, a directional piece where we're continually pointing people toward Christ, right? And we're not telling them what to think politically or what to, because we don't know what Jesus would think politically about all of these gray areas, right? You know what I'm talking about?
But
how do we help them? How do you think? How do you live like Jesus lived, right? And especially in all the grayness of our lives and our culture these days in this post everything world that we live in, how do we move people toward Christ?
That's so powerful and just a helpful way to think through it. So now I'm going to move to the second micro shift in No Silver Bullets, and that's where I want to spend the rest of our time. We're not going to give everybody all five. They got to get the book, and they can dive into all five, and then they got to get the discipleship opportunity and really dive further into some things that I think are very helpful as well. But for this episode, the rest of the time, I want to talk about goals. We've been talking about goals a little bit lately on the podcast, and specifically how to think about goals as a pastor, that they're not unbiblical to think about goals, but this is wisdom to just set some places that we're going, ideas of what we're trying to do. I think you do a really good job in that second micro shift of talking about the difference between input goals and output goals, and this is where some of the research came into play. So give us an overview of why that is such an important micro shift in how we think about making disciples.
Yeah. So going back to this idea of that question, right? What is spiritual maturity? And are there characteristics that you brought to mind when you were thinking about the most spiritually mature people in your church, right? When we go back to that concept, there are so many different frameworks around what maturity looks like. And there are so many different attributes and characteristics. I know even for you, when you were thinking in your doctoral research around replanting, right, you came up with these characteristics of replanters too. And it's helpful, right? It's a very helpful frame. Not that this is in place of the fruit of the Spirit, but it's sort of hard to measure. But part of the question is, how do you measure something, right? And once you measure something, and if you can measure it over and over and over again, what is it actually that leads to that? And my sense when I was writing No Silver Bullets, and I first came across research from Lifeway Research on their transformational discipleship attributes, when I first came across that, I was fascinated because I was like, okay, here's a list of characteristics of spiritual maturity that go beyond the fruit of the Spirit, that I see the fruit of the Spirit in them, but it goes beyond it, and it just gives this sense of, okay, so when it comes to spiritual maturity, you have things like Bible engagement, right? And you have things like obeying God and denying self. These are the eight that they came up with. You have things like serving God and others, sharing Christ, exercising faith, seeking God, building relationships, unashamed transparency. So you have characteristics like these where you're like, yeah, okay, I see that. Like if I embody all eight of those characteristics, or if someone in my church family embodies all eight of those characteristics, would I say that that person is mature? Yes, I would. Actually, I want to embody all that. I want everyone in my church family to embody all that. So that's where the research was so interesting, because this was like, I think at this point they've done the assessment more than three or four times now, over and over and over again, to see if there are any changes. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people have gone through this in its different iterations, and the eight characteristics remain the same. So what was then interesting about that was, okay, so then if I want to be spiritually mature, do I just do those eight things? And if I can do those eight things, like if these things are these things levers that I can do?
Right.
Or are they outputs, right? Are they inputs? Are they things I can do? Or can I control them, right? Like when I barbecue, when I smoke a brisket, right, I can control the temperature of the meat going in, right? Before I put it in the smoker, I can control that. I can control the temperature of the pit, right? I can't control the sun beating down on my smoker, but I can control the temperature inside the pit and how many times I open that up. I can control, right? There are these things we can control and there are these things that we can't control. My sense was that for too many pastors, we are trying to control things we can't actually control when it comes to discipleship, right? We're trying to control the external temperature around the pit, right? We're trying to control, right? Okay, you know, feeding this cow. Like, we don't feed, I mean, maybe if you're hardcore smoke, you raise the calf, you butcher, you know, all that kind of stuff. But for most of us, we don't do that. Yeah. So when it came to this, I actually then started working for Lifeway and I knocked on Lifeway Research's door and I was like, guys, I love your research, but are these inputs or are these outputs? Are these levers I can pull or are these results that I get? And that's when through their research, they showed me the regression analysis around this and actually showed me that these were actually outputs. Mm. This is what mature disciples outputted. It's what they demonstrated. So then what do we do so then what are the inputs, right? What are the things that we can do to create maturity in our lives and in our lives and in the disciples that we are developing? And that's where I found the inputs and the outputs and spelled that out. And we can walk through the inputs if you want, but I just wanted to, I know I've been talking for a while.
Yeah, walk through it. So walk through, if you're talking to a pastor who he's trying to revitalize his church or replant it, and he realizes, hey, I can only focus on so many things at once. The spiritual maturity of this congregation is nowhere near what it needs to be in order for us to do some of the other things we need to do. So I've got to focus on us moving in the right direction on spiritual maturity. I see the output goals. That's where I want to go. What are some ways he can think through input goals to help lead his congregation towards those type of output goals?
Yeah. So here, I'll give you the ones that I unpacked in No Silver Bullets, and then I'll unpack how we've been practically applying it at our church today. Okay. So the ones from the book are reading the Bible, attending a worship service at your church, and attending groups or small classes for adults from your church. Okay. So those are the three pieces where you're like, that's really? Like, all the research was done to reveal that? Like, seriously? And what's fascinating about it, and it is simple, but what's fascinating about it is what the research discovered is that the more frequently you read the Bible, right, the more frequently you read the Bible, you actually then increased in spiritual maturity in all eight of those outputs. Right. So from the effect of if someone only read the Bible once a month to a few times a month to once a week to every day, like over, like going up into the right, spiritual maturity in all respects, in those eight respects, increased up into the right, the more frequently you read the Bible, the more frequently you worship together with others in your church, the more frequently that you were in a small class or a group, right? Which goes to show you also this idea of discipleship being more about the direction than the destination.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So when it comes practically speaking, so what does that look like in a regular Sunday to Sunday church context? For us, and I'll give you one thing that we do almost not every week, but it's part of the culture of how I preach and what we do on the weekends is we've tried to normalize Bible reading. And we've tried as best as we can to make the scriptures approachable, accessible. It's not even like you don't need a seminary degree. You don't need to go to Bible college to understand. It's just, how do we read the word? And that's different. The research revealed that that's different than studying. That's different than memorizing. That's, you know, it's reading, just opening up the scriptures and reading. So there are moments where because a lot of preaching is I'm going to tell you what to do. But what we do and what I will do often in the way that I illustrate points is I won't just tell you what to do, but I'll show you and we'll actually do it together in a message. Right. So there's this moment where, let's say, for example, I was preaching on grief and this must have been a few months back. And I was preaching about grief. I was talking through it. And then we just opened up Psalm 23. And then we opened up another psalm, and I'll do this often, and I'll just read it. And we'll read a verse, and then we'll pause. We'll read a verse, and then we'll pause. And it's just giving people that. It's not go read it. And there are other times where I'm preaching a text, and then it's like, hey, I want to invite you this week to read this, this supplemental text. I want to invite you to read it because based on what we talked about, it's going to drive you deeper in the Word and drive you deeper with Jesus. And I'll give those sorts of quote unquote homework assignments to our church family. But then other times we'll just do it together, or we'll do like a Lectio Divina. We'll do a reflective reading. We'll do things like this. And the auditorium and sometimes you think, especially when you hear things like that, you're like, okay, well, you can only do that if there's 12 people, right? You can only do that if there's 50 people. I mean, our largest auditorium is 1,300 seats. And we're multi-site, and we do this via video, and we're not 100% video to all our campuses, but we're majority video. And this works in different sizes and different contexts, where we're just trying to help people understand that the Bible is accessible.
Yeah.
And that when we read the Bible, and I don't often tell people, hey, if you read the Bible, you're going to become spiritually mature. Right. Like, no. It's just, we just do it.
Yeah.
Right. We're normalizing it. And then it's like, hey, when we read the Bible, and this is where I'll be like, hey, before I read, I'll say, hey, come Holy Spirit, come. I'll spend some time in confession. And then I'll read and I'll just say, the point isn't necessarily what I'm getting out of this. The point is, I just want to spend time with you, Jesus.
Yeah.
And there are those ways where we can begin discipling our people in that way.
I love the simple truth of what we've always known in Scripture being backed up with research. Just the power of the Word of God to transform our lives, to renew our minds. And one of the things I often tell revitalization, replanting pastors is one of the first things that you've got to do is reestablish the Word of God as the central and lived out authority in the 100%. Church. Because it's when we shift from the Word being authority, that's where we shift to preference being authority, or tradition being authority, or culture being the authority, or denomination being the authority. And we have to shift back to the Word being the central, true, lived out, actualized authority, not just because I've never met a Southern Baptist that wouldn't amen that the Bible is our authority, to actually live that out is an entirely different thing.
Yeah, to live it out, to practice it. I love that you do that, and I love that you coach in that way. I remember I heard John Piper speak at a conference one time that when he became the lead at his church at Bethlehem, He said he spent the first year going to every deacon meeting, subcommittee, whatever meetings were going on. I don't remember the specific language he used, but he went to every single one and he did a devotional before because he wanted to establish the foundation. And it's not our preferences, but we are being led by the Word of God, right? The living Word of God. And it was so... I don't really remember the rest of his talk, but I just remember that because I was like, I love that. Because if the Word is in our authority, everything else starts compromising. And then it becomes my preference, your preference, my leaning, your leaning, right? And it's like, no, truth isn't in us. Truth is in the objective Word of God.
Yeah. Well, hey, listener, once you've read your Word, the next thing I want you to pick up is one of Daniel Lamb's books. I appreciate the way that you approach it, the way that you write, the way that you research. And so No Silver Bullets has been a big one for me. I would highly recommend our listeners grab that one as they think through the micro shifts they need to make in leading churches in the right direction towards spiritual maturity. And then take a next deep dive, the 2.0 of that, the discipleship opportunity. It takes into in effect, how the world has changed in the last 7 years, but the Word of God hasn't, and how we need to focus on all the types of people that are going to be in our church and the different ways that we can disciple them. And so thank you for coming on the podcast. Before I let you go, two things. One, how can our listeners be praying for you and your ministry and family? And then after you share that, would you please pray for all of those that are listening, that they would be led by the Word and lead people to be more mature disciples?
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Jimbo. For me, we're entering a season as a church where for the next 3 years, our theme is going to be in and around strength and building strength. And this first year, starting up in September, our ministry year, September to August, is strengthening our souls. And then the year after that is going to be strengthening our teams and then strengthening our impact. So we're going to dive into James. And this morning I was prepping that and prepping that first message and just thinking about the, how do we lean into hardship? How do we lean into trials? Not because we hate ourselves, but because of the resilience and the strength that comes out of that. So if you and our listeners, your listeners would pray that I would be strengthened, that our church family would be strengthened on the foundation of the Word of God, on Him, then that would be awesome. And you know what? I'd love to pray that for your listeners too.
Yeah, please do.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Lord, for everyone who is listening into the Replant Bootcamp and for the way that we can come to you as children. And that we can, that you speak both through the Word and through your Spirit. And we just pray, Lord, that every time we open up your Word, that it would come alive through the Spirit of God. That just as you partnered with Ezekiel in saying, hey, speak to the dry bones, and through the Word of God and the Spirit of God, that those dry bones came to life. I pray that all the dry bones in all of the churches that are impacted by everyone who is listening in would come to life, that you would bring about life, that you would speak life, that you would partner with and use the pastors and the church leaders and the church members to speak life into all of the dry bones, not only in their church, but in their neighborhoods, in their communities, in their states, provinces, countries, and in and around this world, so that all people would be awakened to you, King Jesus. And in the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Replant Bootcamp podcast, where listening to the field will lead you to the future. The Replant Bootcamp podcast is brought to you by Church QuickSight by 180 Digital. With Church QuickSight, you'll get a beautiful, customized website with all the features you need to help your church grow. A helpful project manager to make sure everything is just how you want it. And the legendary 180 Digital hosting and support to keep things running great. 180 Digital is a team of design, development, and marketing experts who know and love the local church. So go to churchquicksight.com to learn more and get started.